Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. I did not do my dance, and I feel so good, so good. My Lord, listen. Yeah, I can feel the Spirit moving. Oh, I feel it moving. But He is greater than I am, because He existed before I was born. I did not know who He would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make Him known to the people of Israel. John said, a man is coming after me. But, conjunction, he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. That should have got you. He existed before I was born, and I did not know who He was. That's baffling. So let's investigate it, because there's an order here. John the Baptist's recognition was to be succeeded by that of Jesus, who had priority stemming from His pre-existence. And there's a word called pre-incarnation. And this is the pre-existence of Christ before His incarnation. And that incarnation is God becoming flesh. That God assumed human nature and became a man in the form of Jesus Christ. Now, my brothers and sisters, John said, He, Jesus, was before me. And why did John also say, and I myself did not know Him? He was before me, and I didn't know Him. John and Jesus were relatives. They were actually cousins through Mary and Elizabeth. But there's nothing known of any contact between John and Jesus in their early years of their childhood or their adolescence. Nothing is said about them, about their linkage. For John did not know that Jesus was the coming one until He, Jesus, was revealed by God the Father. Pastor, that sounds a little contradictory. My brothers and sisters, now I know, and you should know, if you're reading the Bible, why John the Baptist said these words before his death, are you the one? Or can we expect another? It's scripture. If they were cousins, and the scripture implied and said that they were, and at John the Baptist's death, he asked the question of Jesus, are you the one? Or can we expect another? He understood that that was a ministry that Jesus had to accept and live through, and that as he would decrease, there would come one who would increase. This statement also, Antioch, answers the question that was asked years ago. And we find that in Genesis 22 and 6 and 7 verses concerning the sacrificial lamb. Remember Abraham and Isaac? Situation. In Genesis 26 verses 6 through 8, it says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both, and went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. The question that is asked by Isaac is the question that becomes the question of the entire Old Testament. The question is, where is the lamb? The Jews were looking for a sacrificial lamb. They were looking for a Messiah who was to come. But God delivered to the world a sacrificial lamb who was Jesus. For he, Jesus, came to his own, and his own didn't even know him. God said, not you, but I will send a sacrificial lamb. So many times we try to find what we want, but God said, it ain't about you, it's about what I want. So many times we look for the answer in our own mind and our own articulation, but God said, it ain't about your mind, because my mind is all-knowing. I know all things, and I have the power to do what no man can do. My brothers and sisters, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But there's that conjunction. And that in conjunction means something important is about to say when you dig into the scripture. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, plural, of God, even to them that believe on his name. It ain't about what you have, it's about what you believe. Faith is now the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Salvation is of God. It is of faith. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, his son, God has already done the work for you. Salvation is a gift. And then 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says it this way, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your meaningless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without a blemish and without a spot. No one could do what Jesus did. Why? Parenthetically, we all have a sin nature because it was birthed after the order of Adam. And therefore, because we were birthed after the order of Adam, each and every one of us were born sinful. So in order for us to receive salvation, there has to be a systematic change in our life that would draw us back to the Father, because God ain't gonna have nothing to do with sin. And therefore, if God ain't gonna have nothing to do with sin, there had to be a lamb which would come without a spot or a blemish, without a wrinkle, that would be pleasing to the Father, that the Father would honor. And therefore, the Father could embrace what the Son had done, because ain't nobody here good enough for all. Have sinned and come. How short is your short? Your short don't have to be but a little bit for God not to honor it. So the Lord says, all have sinned and come short. But there was one who measured up to the cost. There was one who paid the ultimate price. He was the Lamb of God without a spot or blemish. Now you know why man couldn't have nothing to do with the conception of Jesus, because Jesus would have been born with a sin nature. So the Holy Spirit, which is holy, had to overpower Mary and come with on her, and she could see what was holy. Because if a man had done it, that would have been a sinful man. We could get deeper. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. When John declared that statement, behold, the Lamb, spoke of the Jewish people, hope their mind would focus back to the Passover, Yom Kippur, Jewish. John saw Jesus as that sacrificial Lamb who would come into the world to redeem man back to the Father, to redeem, to purchase, to buy back. You've been bought back. That should have been an amen. You've been purchased. That should have been an amen. You've been bought with a price, not because you're good, but because he's gracious. God's grace was imparted upon us even though we did not know him. And we sometimes wonder, what kind of God is it that we serve? My brothers and sisters, when we see what God has done, we can see all of the things that was transpiring in the life of men. And this carries us back to Exodus, when the children of Israel were delivered from slavery by the hands of God under the old covenant, or under the law. 613 laws. We can't even count 10. God saw the blood of the lamb, the sacrificial animal. When we talk about Exodus, it talked about how God saw the blood, the sacrificial animal, over the doorposts and over the sides. And when the death angel saw the blood, the death angel or judgment would pass by. God was establishing, my brothers and sisters, a provision called grace for us that allowed death to pass by. And the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life. Grace is the gift that God established for us. I have shared that grace is God's unmerited favor, or it is God's inexhaustible supply of goodness, or it is God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's grace. When Jesus arrived in the world, everything changed. Jesus came and fulfilled the laws of God. And when men accept the Lord Jesus, they go from law to grace. See, here's what's so good about it. You can't even count the 10 laws that God had. And now 613 of it. So God says, I'm going to change some things for you. I'm going to make it so easy that you won't have to even understand all of the law. So Jesus said, you have a new commandment. Love God and love your neighbor. But here's the dichotomy of it. We say we love God, but we fuss and fight all the time. We don't even listen to God. But he said, love your neighbor. We fight with our neighbor. The most discriminating hour is 11 o'clock hour. White folks over here, black folks over there, denominations over here, denominations of the Lord. How can you say the two commandments that you follow, and we can't even follow